SBS தமிழ்.
Greetings, Ruben Thanigasalam.
Thank you very much.
We are here to talk about robotic surgery. You have been working with Professor Paul Bannon.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
Before we get to that, because you have Tamil heritage,
That's
our
right.
audience would be interested in knowing your background.
My parents are from Sri Lanka. They're Sri Lankan Tamil. My dad is from Jaffna and my mum grew up in Colombo. And then they moved to England in the 70s. And that's why I have an English accent. And I went to school there and university there. And then came to Australia in 2001.
What brought you to Australia?
It's mainly for work opportunities as a doctor. So I did all my urological training as a surgeon here. And then I went to Paris for 2 years to subspecialize in robotic surgery. And then came back to Sydney in 2014. And then was appointed Associate Professor of Robotic Surgery at Sydney University. So I basically run their robotic surgery research program at the moment, together with a few of my other colleagues. And I work at RPA Hospital and Chris O'Brien's Lifehouse as a urological surgeon.
What got you interested in robotic surgery?
Primarily with the advent of robotic surgery, we found that the technology was such that we could get into tight areas of the body where we operate in urological surgery, such as prostate surgery and kidney surgery. And it's essentially an extension of keyhole surgery, which is laparoscopic surgery, but we use the robot to give us increased magnification. And the robotic arms actually replicate the movement of my wrists when I operate. So that's something that's an extension compared to standard laparoscopy. And what we found was that it actually improved the patient outcomes in terms of their recovery, less blood loss, less pain. And also we found that we could do extra research in terms of image-guided surgery. And that's what I'm interested in at the moment at Sydney University, with a view down the line into looking at artificial intelligence into robotic surgery.
Question is about you. What got you interested in that?
When I was growing up, I was interested in computers and computer games, and sort of brought that into the aspect of surgery, because instruments that we use are consoles, so they're quite similar to what you would use in a computer game, and quite exciting. So, and it's always cutting edge, so there's always something different going on, so it's very interesting.
In any surgery, there are risks. Are the risks reduced in using robotics, or about the same?
In terms of blood loss, what we found is that it's very rare, for example, when we're doing a robotic prostate surgery operation, to use blood transfusions, whereas in open prostate cancer surgery operations for prostate cancer, it can be anywhere up to 15% of patients that get transfusions. So from that perspective, the risks are actually lesser in the robotic surgery arm. But in terms of complications after surgery, we found anecdotally there may be a slight reduction in the risk of post-operative wound infections and pain. But that's not saying that open surgery is bad. It's just that robotic surgery has improved things.
You wouldn't have a lot of data to categorically say that it's less or more.
Actually,
do you have?
Actually, we do. Actually, we have data, and we've audited our data at Royal Prince Alfred and Lifehouse, and we've looked at basically the last 100 patients that have had robotic surgery, and we've compared them to the last 100 patients that have had open surgery, and we've looked at multiple parameters, and we have found that there is less blood loss, the length of stay is much shorter with robotic surgery, and there's also less opiate pain requirements after robotic surgery, and that has actually been proven to be statistically significant.
Now, using robots, is the intrusion much less than open surgery?
Correct. Again, using the example of open prostate cancer surgery, depending on the size of the patient, the incision with open surgery can be anywhere from 10 to 15 centimeters. Whereas with robotic surgery, we make several small 8-millimeter incisions, usually 5 or 6 of them, to put their ports in to attach the instruments to, and those instruments are attached to the robot that we do the surgery with.
What's the involvement of the human in getting the robot to do the surgery?
Yeah, so it's not actually the robot that's doing the surgery. It's this myself, the surgeon, that's doing the surgery, but we use the robot to assist us, essentially. So what we do is once the patient's asleep, we put the instruments in through the ports, we attach that to a Da Vinci robot, which is the robot that we use in Australia at the moment, and then what happens is I sit 3 or 4 meters away separately on what we call a console, and I have 3D vision, so I can see the insides of the patient in 3D with great magnification. And then on that console, there are essentially like two joysticks which replicate the movement of my wrist. And then I can do the surgery, prostate removal, or removing a kidney or kidney tumor using that.
For you, it's like playing a video game, is it?
it's a little bit more complex than getting on the Xbox or PlayStation, but it's a similar type of movement once you get used to it.
Why the name Da Vinci?
So that's Intuitive Surgical is the company that set up that robot specifically, and I believe they felt that it was such a groundbreaking achievement to actually get the technology of the arms and the console and the 3D vision together, that they, like Da Vinci, was a groundbreaking, not only a scientist, but an artist. So they decided to name it after Da Vinci.
You mentioned RPA and
Lifehouse. Yeah.
Who else in Australia or around the world are doing robotic surgery?
There are a number of people in Sydney doing them. Probably 10 years ago, there was only one robot in Sydney. But now there are over 10 robots, and throughout Australia there's 50 robots. So there's a number of surgeons doing them, not only urologists, but you have general surgeons, bariatric surgeons, gynecologists, cardiac surgeons. But definitely urologists make up 80% of the users of the robot in this country at the moment. And if, for example, last year 90% of all prostatectomies performed in the US were performed with the robot. So it is a specialized procedure. You have to be highly trained and highly skilled to use it. You can't just walk up and start using a robot. First of all, you have to go through rigorous training to be a urological surgeon. Then you have to go and often spend time overseas, like I did for a few years, doing rigorous training in robotic surgery in established units before you can come back and start practicing here.
You mentioned Da Vinci as one of the robots. Are there other robots, or is the same manufacturer making?
It's a good question, actually. So Da Vinci has them essentially the major share of robots in the world at the moment, but there are other robots being developed, and there is a robot, for example, in Korea, which is being used at the moment. It doesn't have such a big market share. It's still in its early stages, but there are other surgical robots coming out. For example, Google has joined together with another company called Johnson & Johnson, and they're developing a robot that may have capabilities to perform image-guided surgery, and then probably in the next 10 to 20 years, artificial intelligence-guided surgery, which is very exciting. But at the moment, Intuitive Da Vinci robot's the one that everyone generally uses for urological surgery. But for example, in orthopedics, there's also a robot that the orthopedic surgeons uses that's called a Mako robot, and that's made by a different company. And I've even seen robots for cardiac surgery, robots for dental implant surgery, robots for even hair transplantation. But again, these are very small users compared to Da Vinci.
Ruben, tell us an anecdote or story from your experience, the most difficult surgery that you had to perform, or anything that is of interest to the audience.
I mean, I do a lot of cancer surgery for prostate and kidney. And also I get a lot of second opinion referrals from other surgeons for complex cases that they feel that is better performed with robotic surgery, and they can only offer them open surgery, so they send them to me to do. And I did a case a couple of years ago where a patient who was extremely large, he was over 120 kilograms, so that itself makes surgery very complex for us because of the weight of the patient. And then he had a huge prostate. So the normal prostate size is probably around 30 grams in a 65-year-old male. And this chap's prostate was 220 grams, so it was significantly bigger. And he unfortunately had a prostate cancer. So we'd performed his surgery. It was extremely challenging due to the technical difficulties of him being very obese, having a lot of fat, and having a massive prostate that took up almost the size of his pelvis. It was like an apple. But we were able to meticulously get rid of the prostate and all the cancer. And then he recovered very quickly after the surgery, and he was discharged after a few days, which is one of the benefits of robotic surgery. And if he had an open surgery, I suspect he probably would have been in hospital for 7 to 10 days. We did not give the patient a blood transfusion. And then when patients have prostate surgery, they have a catheter for 1 week. And then when the catheter comes out, they go through a period of recovery of their urine control, because one of the muscles that goes with the prostate when you do a prostate prostate surgery is also one of the muscles that help with your urine control. So it's quite common for patients to leak a bit of urine for several months afterwards whilst they're recovering, as well as passing urine normally. But this patient, because of the techniques that we use, was actually able to have full control of his urine within a couple of weeks of the surgery. So that was very satisfying and beneficial for the patient and also for us, because it was such a complex case. From a point of view of being a Tamil surgeon in Sydney, there are quite a few of us. And when I say quite a few of us, there's probably less than 10. But often our community is often at the forefront of innovation and technology. So I'm very proud of being part of the Tamil community and representing our community, because it's, compared to some of the other communities, not very large. But what we do find, and it's very interesting when I work at Sydney Uni, you often find people of Tamil background in quite technical roles in terms of science and development and research. So it's always very satisfying to see and inspiring for the younger generation to see that.
And we are proud of you as well. Thank you for coming to the studios and talking us through robotic surgery and your background.
Thank you very much.
SBS Tamil Facebook-ஐ லைக் செய்வதுடன் நிகழ்ச்சிகள் பற்றிய கருத்துக்களை நமக்கு அறிய தாருங்கள்.